Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, ba-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Strap in.
You are looking live at a sold-out Memorial Stadium in Columbia.
What the hell is this game? What is this game? It's nothing I'm moving. It's nothing I'm moving.
Single swinging guy. It starts with teams. Let's hit it rolling now. Let's earn this thing today.
This is NFL, which stands for not for long when you make them calls. Yeah. I'll be selling groceries.
They shot me in Denver. You will not!
Week 7 in the National Football League, and welcome to the Bi-Pocalypse. Buffalo, Dallas, Jacksonville, the Chargers, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh are all off this week, so adjust your fantasy lineups accordingly. Thursday night's Broncos-Browns game was too late for this edition of the ZabeCast. Please check your local newspapers for scores and details. We have a 6-2-2-1-1 lineup of games. We have the return of Matt Stafford to Detroit, and we've got the return on Monday night of the Manning cast. Oh, I'm so excited. But let's start by going to Sunday at 1 o'clock in the East, and we start in Miami.
You are looking live.
At the travel-weary Dolphins coming back from London without a bye week. That was their choice. 2-3 Atlanta at the 1-5 Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa, the subject of many trade rumors this week. Falcons minus 2.5 on the road. Total is 47.5. Oh, by the way, there have been 60 teams that have come back from London since they began this series. Only 5 of them have not taken their bye week the following week to recover. They've gone 2-3 straight up in those games, so there's no real trend there. Oh, and the Falcons will play the Florida trifecta this year. Jacksonville, Miami, and Tampa Bay. Chris Myers for Fox with Daryl Moose Johnston. No sideline reporters, you know. Budget cuts, the economy. Scott Novak is your referee. That takes us to the Meadowlands.
You are looking live.
At head coach Matt Rhule of the Panthers. Stolen from the Giants by David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers. Rhule was ticketed for the Giants, but then Tepper would not let him leave until he got him at $9 million a year. 3-3 Carolina, 3-point favorites against 1-5 New York. The Giants not expected to be favored in any games for the rest of the season. This should have been Saquon Barkley versus Christian McCaffrey in a spectacular running back showdown. But you know how these running backs are. They break, and they're in the shop a lot. Fox's Adam Amin and Mark Schlereth on the call. Carl Cheffers is your referee. That takes us up the road to Baltimore.
You are looking live
at Lamar Jackson and the surging Ravens, who started 0-1 and then have won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight. And don't forget, the one they lost was in Vegas to start the season, and it took a miraculous overtime effort by the Raiders. This is a good football team. The 5-1 Ravens are 6.5-point favorites against the 4-2 Cincinnati Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase has been on fire as of late. The Bengals motivated, a win here, an upset win, could move them into a tie for first, but the recent trend is Baltimore has made the Bengals their bitch. Kevin Harlan, Trent Green for CBS on the call. Tony Correnti is your referee. That takes us to Tennessee.
You are looking live
at the loosey-goosey Patrick Mahomes. Take care of the ball, son. 3-3 Kansas City is a 4.5-point favorite against the 4-2 Tennessee Titans. Wow, 3-3 team on the road against a quality opponent. They're favored by that many. Stinky. 57.5 is the total here. Could be a letdown spot for the Titans. Big win on Monday night. Taylor Lewan is okay after that scary concussion slash neck injury. King Henry could run roughshod on Kansas City and their rushing defense. He's had 5 straight 120-yard-plus games. He's an absolute monster. CBS's Ian Eagle, Charles Davis, and Evan Washburn on the call. Brad Allen is your referee. That takes us to New England.
You are looking live
at the first rematch of the 2021 season, the Patriots and the Jets. The Jets are 1-4. The Pats are 2-4. And New England is a 7-point favorite in this one. Total is 42.5. Patriots won the first game 25-6 as Zach Wilson had 4 interceptions in that game. Mac Jones has been the number one rookie all year in the NFL. Completion percentage number one, yards number one, and QB rating number one. CBS's Andrew Catalan and James Lofton, your announcers. Brad Rogers is your referee. That takes us to Green Bay.
You are looking live
at the photo of a 10-year-old Taylor Heineke, quarterback of the Washington football team, who was a Packer fanboy growing up. Oh, look at him in green and gold. His dad was a big Packer fan, and so was he. Now he gets to take on this 5-1 Green Bay team that seemingly is getting smoother and smoother on offense. 2-4 Washington is a 7.5-point underdog to 5-1 Green Bay. Total is 48.5. Oh, by the way, the Packers signed Whitney Merciless, former outside linebacker for the Texans, and the Wolf cut their kicker this week for a guy who has never played in the NFL, and his last name is Blewett. You cannot make it up. Joe Davis, Greg Olson with the call for Fox. Ron Torbert is your referee. We're at a 1 o'clock game, so let's go to the bridge window at 4:05 Eastern.
You are looking live
at the return of Matt Stafford to Detroit. 0-6 Lions hosting the 5-1 Rams, and the Rams are meaty 15-point favorites in this one. Here's your fun fact of the game. The Lions have not snapped the ball on offense with a lead all year long, and they're only the fourth team since 1991 to go this deep into the season without having done that. Fox's Kevin Kugler, Mark Sanchez on the call. Bill Vinovich is your referee. That takes us out to Vegas.
You are looking live
at Derek Carr and the Go Deep Raiders. Rich Bisaccia got his first taste of victory in the NFL last week as the replacement coach for one John Gruden. Can he keep it going? Here comes 2-4 Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts. The Raiders at 4-2 are 3-point favorites in this one. Eagles have been a slow-starting team. They've only got 4 first half touchdowns this year, but they've got 7 in the fourth quarter alone. Fox's Kenny Albert with Jonathan Vilma on the call. Cleet Blakeman, your referee. Now we go to the 4:25 national window, and we go to Arizona.
You are looking live
at the return of Justin James Watt to Houston. That's right. The pride of Pewaukee, J.J. Watt, comes home as his first year as an Arizona Cardinal. Not a bitter parting, but one that was probably
about the right time that he was let go. 1-5 Houston is a massive underdog. Biggest line of the year. 17.5. They are a massive underdog to 6-0 Arizona. Greg Gumbel, Adam Archuleta on the call from the desert. Len Clark is your referee. That brings us to Sunday night, and let's go to San Francisco.
You are looking live
at the handsome Jimmy Garoppolo, who's back as starter for the Niners, who desperately needed. The offense just didn't work with Trey Lance. Not yet, it's not working. 2-4 Indianapolis at 2-3 San Francisco. The Niners are -4. Total is 44. This is also, by the way, the DeForest Buckner revenge game. The former Niner D-tackle wanted to get a new contract. The Niners said they'd put their money into Eric Armstead instead. So they traded Buckner to the Colts for a 13th pick in the draft. And then they took Javon Kinlaw, who's been set by injuries. Winner so far in this trade has probably been the Colts, but they both had to trade a first-round pick for Buckner and then pay him top-of-the-market money. NBC's Al Michaels is back from vacation and by the Bay Area where he lives, so it's an easy game for him. Chris Collinsworth and Michelle Tafoya on the call as well. Craig Rolstad is your referee. That finally brings us to Monday night, and we go to Seattle.
You are looking live
at the Saints and Seahawks. Jameis Winston, the second chance kid, against my friend Geno Smith, the no chance kid. Should be fun. The Seahawks are actually home dogs to the Saints. Wow! And not in, and a 4.5 point number. Saints -4.5. Total is 42.5. I know. The Seahawks are not good. Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, Lewis Riddick, and Lisa Salters call the game on ESPN, but nobody's going to be watching because over on ESPN2, the Manning boys are back. Hello, Manning cast. Can't wait to hear you. Sean Hockley, your referee, better known as Sean of the Ed. And there it is, week 7 in the National Football League. Hello, Mr. X. Hope I'm not interrupting your Case Keenum experience for the Cleveland Browns. Up 10-0 right now in the first quarter against the Broncos. Good evening. How we doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm watching that on one screen, watching the Dodgers on the other, and a little tiny Biden box down in the corner. No, I'm just kidding.
Is Biden speaking right now?
Yeah, he's just finishing a town hall.
Oh, a town hall.
I mean, yeah,
why do you watch that?
I was joking.
Well, you knew he was speaking. I didn't know because
Mrs. X said to me tonight, Are you sure the football game's going to start on time? Because Biden's speaking. Oh, I was like, yes, be on time. She didn't know.
Okay, let's go.
She
Brandon.
Thought President's Trump sports. That was
let's go, Brandon. Ago. Okay, let's get to the football. And first and foremost, we start with last week.
Last week, well, overall, with most people, it was an average week. The favorites went 8-6 in the NFL. The overs went 6-7-1. So it was pretty much a 500 week there. The home teams had a really bad week at 5-9, and the public went like 4-4, which is good for the public. Wasn't good for you and me.
We
were god awful. Yep. You missed all three, including your lock, and I matched you.
2-0-3s. Had the Browns -3 against the Cardinals. Didn't know Mayfield would get hurt, but it didn't matter. The Cardinals just outclassed them in every way, shape, and form. Steelers -5. Just couldn't get traction to cover that number. And then I had the Chargers for the legal limit, and they got smashed by the Ravens.
Yeah. Well, you went first and hit three balls in the woods. All I had to do was putt it down the fairway to beat you, but I couldn't do it. I went 0-3 also.
Who are your picks?
I had the Bills #1 on Monday night, and they got upset by Tennessee, of course. I had Detroit catching 4. they got beat by a lot more than that. And I had the Bears to stay close to your Packers, and they lost by 10, so that one didn't come close either. So I hate bad close losses, but at least none of those were close.
Yeah, we'll get to our picks in a second, but with the six bye teams this week and with three games at 12.5 or higher, there's not a lot of food out at the buffet right now.
This is an example. You're right. There is nothing on that table, but I'm hungry and we're going to eat anyway.
well, we're going to pick something. I know there's some fried chicken down there at the end. We're going to wait for that.
Put ketchup on it. We'll make it work.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what else are we talking about this week before we get to our picks?
Well, I don't know. I bet you've probably done this a lot, but did you already discuss Sean Taylor Day?
I did, but I want to hear your take on it.
Well, at first I didn't believe it, but it was so obvious that they decided to do this like that week with no notice, no anything, to try to get elementary version to try to divert attention from the investigation and Gruden and George Allen. And Sean Taylor's own family was like, shoot, we only got 4 days' notice. They didn't have enough towels. I mean, that was like the most ridiculous attempt at a diversion you've ever seen.
And yet, they tried it, Mr. X.
Oh my God! Yeah, it was embarrassing.
Do you still pull for them?
You know, I want to believe in Santa Claus. I really do, but I just don't. I know he's not coming.
Does the name thing matter to you?
No, I still say I still say that old name all the time. Redskins. Not to be mean, not to be offensive. I just do it. My kids look at me and go, "Who? Who?" I'm like,
oh,
"Okay, I'm
sorry." Oh boy,
whatever. Because I can't have it.
Okay, all right. That's all right. Question number two: does the realization that Snyder has no idea what the fuck he's doing and that the organization is never going to win anytime soon, does that daunt you in terms of pulling for them?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay.
I guess at the end of the day, I honestly feel like the owners shouldn't have that much of an impact, but he proves that they do.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. Does the sheer mendacity of Dan Snyder and the thought that if I root for them to do well and someday they do, that asshole's going to bask in it, does that blunt your appeal of rooting for this team?
I guess it does, but... you know, it's not going to happen.
How about the stadium?
Oh, God. I mean, that's an embarrassment as well.
How about the fact they don't have a quarterback and no prospects for getting one?
Oh,
I mean, okay. You know, there's five.
I'm Heineke wagon. I've been saying they had no quarterback for a while, and everyone's been loving Heineke, but he's a nice young kid, but come on. Yeah. Can't play. Yeah. Can't play. You know, I view this like... The majority of the teams in sports that you pull for or against, you don't need to know who owns the club. You just watch the game. And if you know the owner, it's probably a bad thing.
Probably a bad thing. Exactly right. Okay. Mac Jones, he's been the best quarterback amongst the rookies in just about every category except for touchdown passes. Percentage is number one. Yards is number one. Passer rating is number one. You asked, do you get any credit? You meaning you?
No. What I mean is, you know, there are people like, wow, you know, the Patriots knew what they were doing. They got the right guy. I've always wondered in these quarterback deals. You'll never hear it. But let's just say when you, quote, pick last, and the Pats basically picked last of the first round quarterbacks, and you take the last guy there and he wins, do you really get to say, hey, I knew it was better than those other guys? It's not that, you know, it's like when Tua and Herbert went back-to-back 2 years ago, you know, and they went 5-6 and the Dolphins picked first. Maybe the Chargers really wanted Tua over Herbert. But right now, hell no. They're going to say, oh, that's who we wanted all along. So my question with a guy like Mac Jones is, do they really get to say they knew he was this or that? Or is it more like, oh, he's the only one left? Let's go.
No, they don't get – I mean, you could say that, but I don't buy into it because any team could have jumped up ahead of them with a blockbuster deal for the team drafting ahead of them at any time, and you don't know if or when that's coming. I will say that generally speaking, though, if you draft a guy who's good at a value position, you get the credit.
Because if you draft a guy who sucks at a high expensive position, you're going to take the blame. So they should be taking a bit of a lap. And you know what? I'm sure he's getting good coaching up there too.
Well, that is part of the question is, you know, is it, it's not an Xbox game. You do. Right. I'm not going to say Belichick. I'm going to say, what's his name? The OC in New England, who's pretty highly thought of.
I'll look it up while you keep talking, but yes.
The guy that took the coaching job and came back. But anyway, the point is
McDaniels.
I mean, Josh McDaniels. But when you, you know, maybe there's something to say, you don't just plug it in. Maybe you do coach them and teach them and get them comfortable, and maybe he's that good at it. Maybe he took the fifth best choice out of that draft and has got him up to speed quicker than the other guys could.
What is your Dano and yourself groundhog theory? What's a groundhog theory?
Well, I call it groundhog because on our website this week, Dano, his top pick was what you call an exotic play, something that's not normal. And his analysis was dead on. He said the Chiefs are going to crush the Wolf, but I'm not taking a chance on a backdoor late cover, so I'm just taking the Chiefs for the first half, which, of course, lost when Mahomes made those two silly end zone picks.
Yeah.
And eventually, the Chiefs rout.
Right.
And Dano hates exotic plays, so I call it groundhog. When he makes one, he gets it wrong, and then he won't do another one for 6 years, just like the groundhog. Saw his shadow.
But
he won't be out again.
Yeah, but the groundhog comes out every year on April 2nd. That's the whole point of Punxsutawney Phil. I think I need to school you in the legend of Punxsutawney Phil, but okay, I get it. That was a bad pick.
Saw shadow
by Dano.
Won't do it again.
Okay, gambling lessons, hot streaks, cold streaks for picking games. What to do when they happen?
It's a great question that I got a little bit this week. First of all,
because you're ice cold.
No, I wasn't ice cold.
Well, picks on this pod were.
Oh, on the pod. Oh, God, yes. I'm sorry. Yes, exactly. I was thinking mid-sight. We've done well in the NFL. I'm ice cold in college. You're right. But the question is, it's more important to understand the cold than the hot, because as long as you're hot, it doesn't matter what you do.
Don't question it.
Yeah. But when you're cold, the biggest thing is, you know, let's say you have a really bad week, like I did back in week three. Or, okay, on your show this week. Don't play catch-up. Don't dig out of that hole. Don't try to bump up any units and try to get it back. But also don't quit. You just throw it out. It's just like, you know, you had a bad round of golf. Throw it out. Go back and start again. Maybe work a little harder, but you don't quit. But you don't
chase. Don't get angry. Don't do what I did, which was to take the Colts. Because I was angry don't take the Chargers because I was angry that the Colts got lucky the week before.
Right.
That was a dumb pick.
Just keep your head and roll. Now, when you're hot and you've had really, I have no problem with controlled pressing up, let's call it. There's nothing better than other people's money. The house is money. So when I have a Saturday where maybe we go, you know, 5-1 or 6-0 and have a great Saturday, it's okay to push up your units on the next day. It's okay it's like at the craps table. Nothing's more fun than having a big stack of chips that they gave you.
Yes,
not
they gave you.
That's okay. So when you get a big stack of chips and you've had a hot week or two, don't sit there and be tight. It's okay. Don't go crazy, but it's okay to press up. You want to press up when you're ahead. Don't press up when you're behind.
All right. You want a quick review of teasers?
Yeah. I saw some folks of yours, friends of ours, playing them that made me cringe. Made me think we need to revisit it again.
All right.
Do I need to go over what they are? Do you want me to do that?
Real quick.
Okay. A quick version. In football, if you're willing to pick two teams and pick them together, you have to go 2-0. It's called a teaser. You get an extra 6 points, but you must go 2-0. So, hence
the
name.
You get 6 points per game. You can apply to either side that you wish. You can take a 7-point favorite and make them 13 points. You can take a 1-point dog and make them a 5-point favorite. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, you got to go back. A 7-point favorite, you would make them a 1-point favorite.
Well, you're right. Sorry about that.
Yes,
you'd move
that's
the other
way. Or the 7-point dog becomes a 13-point dog. So you get an extra 6 points on your team. but you must go 2-0 to win the bet. Now, and they call it teaser because just that, it always looks good. 6 points in the NFL or college looks like a big number. I can win that.
$100 on a two-team teaser pays what?
Well, it's the same as a straight play. So you'd risk 110 to win 100.
Okay, fair enough. But you got to win 2-0.
Correct.
It is the carnival game with the basketballs and the hoops right in front of your face, 5 feet away, and you're like, how hard is this? Well, the balls are overinflated, the hoops are extra small, and you'll find out how hard it is once you plunk your money down.
Okay, that's a good analogy. But they have a place.
Oh, they do?
They have a place. They do have a place. I don't like them, but they do have a place. And the point of it is, first of all, the only time I do them is when you look through the menu and maybe you can't really find anything you love. You know, if there's games you love straight, leave it there. If you can't find enough to wet your whistle straight, that's when I might say, okay, fine, this might be the teaser week. But the biggest mistake is what you're trying to do with that 6 points is turn a loser into a winner, obviously. If a team is favored by 7 and you tease them down to 1, if they win by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, instead of a loss, you have a win, obviously. You're trying to turn a loser into a winner. Now, in order to do that, you've got to cross important numbers in the point spread game. Now, there was a guy we know that last week, I think it was last week, the simplest thing to remember is never, ever, ever cross the zero. Because if you do, you're wasting points. Going from plus to minus is not crossing any important numbers, because the ones and the twos, those are not important numbers. The important numbers are your threes and your sevens.
How can some numbers be less important than others?
Okay, here's how.
They're all numbers that count in the score, and there are lots and lots of one- and two-point games in the NFL.
Okay, in the last 20 years, I'm looking at an average margin of victory chart. 1 and 2s are like 3 to 4% of all games. Okay, now a 7-point margin happens about 15% of the time. That's a big number. Actually, I said that wrong. Yeah, it is. It's 15%. So that's a good number. That's a key number. 15% of the time, the margin is 7. Okay, 10% of the time, the margin is 3. And 7% of the time, the margin is 4. So 3 and 7 are the key numbers, with 4 kind of a bonus in between them. Okay? So when I move a number on a tease from, let's say, from a 2 to an 8 or an 8 to a 2, I'm crossing those 3 key numbers, which come in about 30% of the time. Now, that's on both sides, so you have to cut it in half a little bit. But the point is, if I tease from a 2 to an 8, I've now made a winner out of 3, 4, 6, and 7. Those are normal outcomes. That has value. Okay? Or right, vice versa. The biggest teases are a +2 up to a +8, or like a -7.5 or 8 down to a -1 or 2. Now you have turned the most common outcomes, the 3, the 7, and the 4, you've turned them from a losing bet into a winning bet. It's easy to understand that. You go from +4 to -2. There's no 0 coming in. Well, yes, we do have ties, but I mean, you have now said, gee, if we lose by 1 or win by 1, I've turned it into a winner. That does not help you. That's a very, very small percent of time. So
it feels a lot to me like complaining about how the third baseman plays in blackjack, which is a common misconception.
The
third baseman could play blindfolded at blackjack. It wouldn't fucking matter because he does not have clairvoyance to see the dealer's hole card.
I don't see that analogy. The point is,
do you agree with my premise that the third base play in blackjack is irrelevant?
Here's the difference. It is irrelevant,
but
I will not be at that table.
Okay, well then you don't believe in the science. You don't believe
in the math,
numbers.
But I believe more in the karma.
Okay, fine.
Karma beats math in many ways.
Whatever.
Bottom line is you want to cross threes and sevens.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on. Nobody plays teasers. Nobody should play teasers. They're evil. Don't do them, no matter what Mr. X says. By the way, go to callmemrx.com if you want more information on teasers. Okay, everyone wake up after that. Here we go. This week's games and picks. Not a lot of great watching games, much less betting games. Baltimore-Cincinnati is a good one. Battle for first place in the division. Kansas City-Tennessee, rematch of the 2020 AFC title game. That's about it.
That's the end of it. Baltimore-Cincy is the only game this week with two winning records.
I know.
Isn't that something?
Well, you got the league sorting out like oil and water. There's 4 1-win teams in the AFC alone.
Well, and which is just about the time of year you probably start taking those teams. This is the NFL.
Arizona's minus 17.5. That's the biggest number of the year so far. What's the biggest spread in NFL history?
Biggest spread in NFL history was in 1968. Believe it or not, a Denver team that was without their quarterback and running back went to New York Jets. When the Jets were good, and Jets laid 22.5, and that's the biggest one on record. And by the way, Denver won the game outright and knocked me out of my second grade class survivor pool, as I recall.
All right. Well, 17.5 is a big number, and it could get bigger as the year goes on if Arizona continues this strong and if some of the other teams that they play are absolutely putrid. Bymageddon, why so many buys this week?
Well, you know what? They're calling this Bymageddon. I guess mainly there's six teams. It's not that it's more teams.
It's just the quality of teams. Quality of offenses.
It's fantasy teams.
Fantasy, yeah.
These are five out of the six. You know, in a regular fantasy league, there's certain teams that you got 5, 6, 7 players from, and some you only have a couple. But Buffalo, Pitt, Chargers, Vikes, Dallas, those are all huge key fantasy guys. So it just seems like more teams out than usual, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Our picks for the week, without further ado, here are my three. I'd love to sell them as I am convinced you can play these games and bet your 401k on it, but the way I've been going, I wouldn't necessarily go that route. That said, I'm going to hold my nose on the first pick. The Chiefs are favored at Tennessee. I know they lose Taylor Lewan, but he wasn't exactly playing great this year. And the Titans are not going to play without a left tackle. He will be replaced by an actual professional football player. Why are the Chiefs -4.5, even -5, I see, in some shops at Tennessee? They have a terrible defense, and King Henry has been running roughshod over teams. Why are the Chiefs favored? It makes no sense. Therefore, I am on the Chiefs with cement shoes for the legal limit. The Packers -7.5 over Washington. This game was 10 when the week started. Why is it going this way? Makes no sense. Therefore, I'm on Washington +7.5. And then the Raiders -3 against the Eagles. I got to take a favorite, so I will take the Raiders. -3 against an Eagles team that is a slow starting team. There's my picks. Counterintuitive. I hate making both Washington and Chiefs my picks, but I am, and that maybe will turn things around.
Which one do I record as the number one?
Oh, yeah. The lock of the week is the Chiefs. The 4.5. I'm buying them at 4.5. I don't give a fuck if you say it's -5. I bought them at 4.5.
You got it. Let me ask you something before I do mine. On the Wolf Packers game, like you said, it opened 9.5. It's been trickling down. People are betting the Packers as always, yet it's gone to 7.5. Don't you have a name for that?
It's the planes, trains, and automobiles situation where John Candy screamed, "You're going the," or actually the motorist in the other car screamed at John Candy, "You're going the wrong way." And he said, "Pah, how do you know which way I'm
going? How do you know where we're going?"
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
That is a PTA game.
PTA.
Okay. My three will be this. I will first take the 2.5 trap. I will take the Dolphins catching 2.5 at home versus Atlanta.
Ooh.
The world just cannot get over how bad the Dolphins were in giving away the game to Jacksonville. I consider that a trap game. Why is Miami is catching points at home? They stink. Let's take the Falcons. No, I'll take the 2.5 trap. Miami probably wins that outright.
Quick explanation. 2.5 trap is when the game opens 2.5 and it does not budge, meaning the odds makers love people on the favored team minus 2.5 because it just won't be enough.
Yeah, the theory there is also that when you put it at 2.5, most bettors just ignore that because they assume the team they think is better will win by at least a field goal. So the 2.5, they just kind of ignore.
They discount it, right.
Like, so sure, yeah. I always say, at that case, just take the other team outright to win the game money line because they're trying like crazy to get you to take Atlanta and believe what you saw last week is true.
Mark my words, some pregame pundits on Sunday will say, you know, the Dolphins didn't choose to take their bye following their arduous overseas journey from London on the Titanic. You know, they're going to make some dumb shit like that. Five teams have done this since they started playing in London. They're 2-3 straight up the following week.
Yeah.
It's not a factor. Correct. They travel fucking first class. Flying to London is not much different than flying to Seattle. Get over it. Okay.
Okay. I will also, here's an interesting one, I will take the Giants plus 3. Yeah, that's why. And, well, let's put it this way.
Dumpster diving, Mr. X.
Oh, yes.
Dolphins and the Giants this week.
The Panthers are not a great team. They're laying 3 points. That number has not moved. There's a lesson in here, I'm going to tell you. It comes on, it's out at 3. Everybody in the world is playing the Panthers. They're up to 80% of the action in most places. The world says the Giants suck. Well, the world's right, but the Panthers, if that number moves, you got to listen to this one closely. I'm taking the Giants plus 3. If that number goes to 3.5 or 4, which you would think is a good thing for me and my Giants, I will not be taking it. But as long as that number holds fast at 3,
so you're waiting.
And refuses to move, okay, because even though everyone's betting Carolina, as long as it doesn't move, that's telling you take the Giants, okay, and that's where I'll end up.
All right.
And my third one, I'm sorry, but I had written down the PTA special with the Wooft. I show him catching 8. You said 7.5, but I don't have to like that one either. But the fact is it's going the wrong way, so I'll jump on that train.
All right, as always, go to his website, callmemrx.com, if you want more. As we like to say, bet with your head, but only bet as much as you can afford to win.
Right? There you go.
All right, sounds Mr. like X, we'll see you next week. Thank you.
All right, see you.
Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, pa-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Hey, Hoser. Can you hear the music?
I did.
Here we go.
I was waiting for the coo-coo-coo. Coo-coo-coo-coo-coo.
Hold on. Not sure if we can time it up. Charge. Good evening, sir. Greetings.
Good evening.
From Kyrgyzstan, where you are the defender of Mr. Cousins. Another bomb game and a flat-out baller touchdown because you could not and would not rely on that kicker one more time in overtime.
Can't do it. Not in Minnesota, you can't. You can in Wisconsin.
Did anyone on radio this week finally come around just a bit to go, you know, maybe we've been a little bit harsh on old Kirk?
Our competitor station is basically filled with Kirk haters, and I don't listen to them, but I imagine that even they are relenting at this point. And dude's been awesome. He's engineered 4 out of our 6 games. He's engineered final drive comebacks. I mean, it's yeah. it's been unbelievable. And now the goalpost movers of Minnesota are now left with this. Has he won a Super Bowl? That's all they got, Dave. All they got left is, has he won a Super Bowl?
None of your other guys have won one either. So What the hell exactly? Well, here's the thing. He's going to have one of the more interesting careers in the NFL because he's still very healthy. He does not get blown up a lot, does he?
No, he's never missed a game. He's never missed a game for either of our teams.
Yeah. So he rarely gets blown up. He is very smart with where he puts the ball. And he is having undeniable statistical success in a second location, Minnesota.
Yeah.
He is only 32 now?
33. Just turned 33 recently.
33.
Yes.
He's got another big contract somewhere.
He does.
If not in Minnesota, because look at the landscape. You see the landscape I see and every other team sees. There's no fucking quarterbacks. There's no quarterbacks.
No.
And here's a guy who you could really build a tasty sandwich around if he got all your other shit together. Like in your case, I don't know, the defense this year or the O-line in previous years or the fucking kicker for once, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Now, and the other thing is, there are all these people are like, we'll just rebuild through the draft. Well, what's the guarantee that that's going to work out? You know, does Zach Wilson look like he's going to work out right now? You know, hell no. You know, Sam Darnold was the second pick in the draft, right? Second quarterback taken in the draft. Sure. He's not worked out. I mean, they can set you back so long. You have to have a good quarterback, or everything else is almost impossible. And you know, look at the differential between your two teams and even, you know, not just Aaron Rodgers to Washington, but just even pre and post Kirk. Yeah. I mean, you know, there was the good run with Kirk where that team was at least a quasi-competitive team, and then he's left and they've been struggling to find a quarterback ever since.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm glad he's doing well. And I'm obligated to hate the Vikings because of my Packer affiliation. So don't tell this. Don't tattle on my listeners here in Green Bay, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
They don't listen.
Well, I hope some of them listen to the podcast. All right. Quarterback trades. This, you know, November 2nd is coming up, and that's the trade deadline. You and I are old enough to remember when nobody ever got traded in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Changed, though, big time in the last
couple
of years.
You know why it changed?
No.
I think you and I were just talking about this last week. Because Belichick made it okay.
No
Belichick,
way.
Belichick started making these trades, deadline moves, and everyone, I guess it's okay. I guess we can do it. Belichick started deferring kickoffs. Now, what does the rest of the league do? They all defer kickoffs. It's if Belichick puts his stamp of approval on it, then it must be okay.
WWBBD.
Yeah,
what
that's right.
Would Bill Belichick do? I often invoke that with other coaches, and I go, would Belichick do that? And the answer is probably not, so you shouldn't either. Yeah, he's the smartest when it comes to keeping all 3 timeouts in his pocket in the second half until at least 2 minutes are left, just in case. He's the smartest at things tactically, like the defer the kickoff so you can double punch people at the end of the first half
and at
the start of the second half, and a whole bunch of other things. And so, yeah, I guess maybe that's right, that he started to make deadline moves. You know what the thinking was, what I kind of sensed doing sports radio about the NFL was, teams didn't make trades at the deadline because, A, it reeked of desperation, and B, coaches were so into their system and their culture. It's like, well, we could trade for linebacker X or wide receiver Y, but would he fit our system, which is such an old, stupid football way of thinking about things, instead of just going, hey, is he good at footballing? Yes. So maybe he could help our team. Right, exactly. Yeah. Will he be excited to come to our team? Yes, because we're a good team. No one wants to play for a shit team, so he'll be motivated to fit in and find a role, and we'll fucking figure it out.
So the worst coaches are the ones, and this is across all sports, that have got their system and have to have just the right players to work in their system. The best coaches, Zabe, are the ones that will adapt to the strengths of the players they've got.
Yeah.
And those are the hallmarks of a great coach.
And the really great coaches are ones who are able to extract talent out of the existing roster, the depths of it, you know, players 44, 45, 46, all the way to 53, where you might flip a guy from corner to wide receiver, and you pull out of
also
the cracks.
Belichick, by the way, also Belichick did that. Yes.
Yeah. You pull out of the cracks and the bone marrow of your roster talent that can do things for you. That's when you really got it rolling. But it's hard. It's hard. There's 32 teams trying to figure it out, and even the Patriots are not immune to mistakes.
Especially draft day.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. So this rumored trade, which by the time people hear this in 24 hours or longer, may have come down, maybe not. Maybe it's all still just smoke with November 2nd a ways away yet. This Deshaun Watson through Miami, Tua going to Washington, and Deshaun ending up in Philly trade? Is that what I'm hearing?
I haven't heard the other legs of this trade.
Or Deshaun to Miami, and then Miami sends Tua to Washington, and there's some swap of that. I've seen variants of it various places. Let's just start with this, Charge. Will Deshaun Watson get traded by November 2nd?
No. I'm on no on this. I think he's just too toxic, and the asking price is too high. I think most teams do not want to face the backlash of what it means to bring him into your system and pay for the right to do it. Yeah. And if the rumors are true that they want multiple first round picks, then that is hard. That is a hard sell on a sensitive fan base. To bring that in.
So from the Texan side of things, how would they play it then if they don't move him now?
I think they would play it this way. You would say, we are just going to wait until there is this thing settles one way or another, like settles out of court, or it goes through a legal process that is completed, and then we'll see what we got.
But he would presumably not want to play for you at the end of the line. So we're talking January, February.
Yeah.
Court case is settled. The NFL has decided on whatever discipline they're going to administer. But he's still like, fuck you, I'm not playing for you. Now you've got to trade him. At least then you have some clarity, which I'm sure other teams want first.
Yes, exactly. You can get a lot more for him once there's some legal footing to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that does feel like a wintertime thing. Unless a team is really desperate now for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Or wants to beat the post-season holiday shopping rush. But here's the thing, you want to make sure you know who might or might not be available come wintertime.
Oh yeah.
Hook or by crook or by trade or by force out, or who knows what. What if Russell Wilson acts up again this offseason?
Could happen. And but for all of that, for the biggest offseason of quarterback tumult in our lifetimes, nobody moved. At the end of the day, it all stayed the same.
Right?
Russell didn't move, Aaron Rodgers didn't go anywhere. At the end of the day, the teams in the NFL still have the power. It's not like the NBA, like Ben Simmons. you know, most of the players in the NBA can force their way and exert their will to change their situation. The NFL doesn't work that way. These players can't do it even if they want to. And Lord knows Aaron Rodgers wanted to.
Well, that's the thing. So do you ever see it's a very small time movie. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but it's called Killing Him Softly with Brad Pitt.
No.
He was a hitman, and it was set, you know, kind of in more modern times, whatever, but he was a hitman, and at the end of the movie, he's going to collect on whacking a dude, and the guy who was going to pay him starts giving all these reasons why he can't pay him the agreed upon price. He wanted to pay him less, and they were sort of compelling reasons. Well, this, that, the other, da, da, da. And Brad Pitt just sits there at the bar smoking a cigarette, and he starts into this long tirade about what America is, blah, blah, blah. It's a great speech. And at the end of the speech, he turns to me and says, "Now pay me, motherfucker." and the guy had to pay him because guess what? He's a hitman.
Hitman, right. How do you negotiate with a proven killer?
Right.
So he can't not pay your assassin.
So let's say hypothetically Rodgers gets to the end of this year and he has an epic battle with Brady again, this time at Tampa, comes up short just again for an agonizing third straight NFC title game loss. Mm-hmm. And the Packers, for whatever reason, are like, well, I don't know. We got Jordan Love, and, you know, you've got one more year. You got one more year under our control. I think we're just going to ride that out. What if Rodgers then says, pay me, motherfucker? Then he might be available in a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're a team that wants to get a quarterback, you'd rather wait if you can to see who might be gettable this winter.
Yeah, it's hard, right? Because now you're hoping something implodes somewhere else, and you can't know if that's going to happen, which makes it very tough. And the teams that have cap space aren't generally teams he's going to want to go to, other than maybe the Broncos. Yeah. You know, for any accomplished quarterback, the Broncos are one of the only teams that could even afford. If his attitude is "pay me, motherfucker," then there are only a handful of teams that could even do that.
Yeah, true. All right. Off the topic of football, because we like to do pop culture and other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure you might have a topic, but I've got one for you here. This is funny. Do you know that Facebook has decided, well, not decided, they're thinking about changing their company name. Not the name of the app or the website, Facebook, but their company name, they're thinking about changing it to avoid.
Yeah, like Google.
Yeah, right? Like Google became Alphabet, Inc.
Alphabet.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking about changing the overall big umbrella name to get away from some of the more recent scandals involving Facebook.
Is there a proposed name?
Well, they say that Zuckerberg keeps talking about shit called the metaverse.
Yes, I'm familiar with the metaverse.
What is the metaverse?
This is an old term that goes back 30 years ago with a science fiction writer, and I believe it was Neal Stephenson who first coined the term, and it has to do with your augmented reality, where you are living in a blended real-life reality, unlike, say, VR. You put on the VR goggles and you're totally in the VR world.
Right.
The metaverse is where you are living in a world that is still your reality, but it's overlaid with data and internet and, you know, all kinds of stuff, right, that's being jacked into your eyeballs and your brain. And that hybrid reality that is both, you know, real and fake is the metaverse.
Yeah. Are we not getting closer to that all the time? Is it like the Matrix almost? We're getting a little bit closer, a little bit closer every day.
We are in this regard. You know, there are now there's a whole, remember when Google tried their ill-fated Google glasses?
Yeah, whatever happened to those?
8 years ago. Well, they sucked. And
the first version of everything sucks. I thought for sure they would have made a second version, third version, where you can't even see the camera and you have no idea that they are actually spy camera glasses.
there are big companies that have got these in the works, including Apple is rumored to have a lightweight, fashionable version of these that will overlay all kinds of stuff. I'll give you an example of the kinds. Here's just one example of the kinds of things it could do. You are at you are shopping someplace. Maybe it's like a record store. And as you are leafing through albums, old vinyl, right, it's popping up the reviews of the album or even right. playing snippets of the album into your ears while you are looking at and leafing through the albums. That's the kind, you know, that these overlays of data, music.
So you see it almost like the Terminator sunglasses. Brr, yeah. brr, brr, you know, it's like showing target acquired and information all right in front of your eyes.
That's right. That's okay. the kind of stuff. Now, sooner or later, eventually, that'll just go into your eye. It'll just be implants. It'll go right into your eyeball.
It'll be a contact lens, essentially.
Yes.
You'll be able to pop it in and pop it out. I don't know why there's not a Google Glass in which there is a tiny pinhole camera that is undetectable to the naked eye in the bridge of the nose of your glasses, mm-hmm. and that there is a USB memory card in one ear piece or whatever they – what do they call the – the tongs that go behind your ears.
Ear rest?
That's funny. I don't know. This is funny, George. I've never thought about what do they call that part of the glasses?
I haven't either. Yeah. I don't know. Ear rest sounds good to me, but I don't know.
But surely you could put space for a micro SD card in one of those, and surely you could put a battery that would power the camera in the other one, and now you've got a self-sustaining, undetectable, looks like normal glasses, not Google Glass. Everyone could see that these were some fucked up garage project from 100 feet away, right?
Right.
I'm talking a pinhole camera that records in high definition with great audio clarity. You cannot tell what it is. Do you know the mayhem that would come from those glasses recording conversations with your boss in private?
Oh, God, yeah. You can do that now. I mean, everybody expects your phone to be on you all the time, and you can be recording any conversation you want. The only thing I would quibble with your plan is, who needs physical storage? We're just storing to the cloud as we go, right?
True. I mean, you wouldn't need physical storage, but if you wanted to control that crucial video, you wouldn't want to put it up to the cloud right away. You may want to record your boss saying, "Oh, I fucked Linda. She's a real nasty one." And then you hold that video in your precious fingers on that SD card.
Even the smallest SD card. I'm looking at a micro SD in my hand right now.
I know. Hold on a second. Just to complete that. When you upload to the cloud, now there's digital breadcrumbs that trace it back to you. If you have it on an SD card in your glasses, now you've got the ultimate blackmail tool. You drop that in an envelope saying, "You might want to take a look at this." Okay, go ahead. SD card.
It's just the cards, and maybe they'll get even smaller than they are now, but I think they would have to to get these glasses.
No. They're small enough now. I'm looking, the SD card in this Rodecaster Pro is tiny.
I know. I'm looking at my Rodecaster Pro SD card as well. This thing is tiny. It would fit in the
earlobe support mount thing. Whatever that is.
Earlobe support mount, yes.
So Facebook, they can change their name all they want. Don't people really know what Facebook's about at this point?
God, you'd think so. Certainly isn't about your privacy.
It ain't about the truth. Ain't about sharing information. It's about a lot of other shit than that. For sure.
Yep.
But
and now
still
I'm off
use
Facebook.
Good Are you,
I'm a conscientious objector and have been for 7 years.
I'm about the same. I got off at about the same time. I didn't get off it as a conscientious objector, although I do object. I got off it because of other people's vacation photos.
Can't pretend I care.
Did I ever tell you this reasoning?
No.
It's very petty. It's very insecure. I admit that, but I'm going to be honest. I would look at other people's perfect fucking families and their wonderful goddamn vacations to some fancy-ass Italian resort, and I would seethe with anger and jealousy. And then I would say, "Hey, wait a minute. I only went to high school with this asshole. I'm not even friends with him. Why do I care? Why did I click accept friend request?"
Right.
And I started to question why I was opting in to this network of quote unquote friends just because, you know, Facebook's algorithm said, hey,
sure. You should know each other.
They went to Langley High. Do you know yeah. them? They know this, this, and this. They must be your friend, right? So I saw the whole thing as bullshit, and it only angered me. And so I said, fuck it, I'm out. But yeah, all the other stuff for Facebook is equally evil to want to get out.
It is. And then the other part with, and I think there are workarounds for this, was the 5,000 follower limit, right? Or friend limit or whatever. And, you know, you and I are very popular people.
Extremely popular.
Very popular.
I could have 5,000 friends in a heartbeat if I wanted to.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, that limit was not going to suffice for, you know, to harness the fame and the pedigree that we've got. So, you know, Twitter just, it works better for all of those things. And even though, by the way, even with the vacation photos, even though we know that people just give us this manicured snippet of the very yes. best parts of their life without showing us any of the real drama and difficulties, we get almost none of that because people don't want to share that. Right. But everybody's got shit. Everybody's got their warts and the problems and the things that most people don't know about that are happening inside their house that they don't want everybody else to know.
Yeah. Amen to that. Exit topic in 30 seconds or less. What do you got, Church?
Best hamburger place that Milwaukee has, but, and I mean like regional chain that Milwaukee has that Washington doesn't or vice versa.
They do not have Culver's in D.C. Culver's fucking kills. Their only problem is they're a Pepsi joint. Boo.
Oh, we hate that.
Yeah.
We hate that. Now, how do you feel about the cement mixer?
It's great. It's a big old cup of fattening ice cream. Nom, nom, nom with all kinds
of
toppings in that as well. What about Minneapolis? Best burger place in Minneapolis?
That you can't get elsewhere. Smash Burger.
Ooh.
Okay. It is awesome. It's thin, salty, greasy patties, and I love it.
Oh, I like the thin. I like the thin. Mm-hmm. Some people like the thick burgers. No. Thin it up for me, baby. Thin it up and give me two of them.
Yes. The double smash burger. So next time you're in town, we're going to do the high-end Manny's. We're going to do the low-end smash burger, and they're both going to be
I got to do the barbecue joint you have as well.
Yes, what's Big Boar.
Big oh Boar, God. Baby. Okay,
I'm coming. Can you just live here for a week?
I'm coming, baby. When do the Packers play the Vikings on the road?
Great question. I'll tell you in a couple of seconds.
I got it right here.
It's got to be soon.
It's coming up. It's
November 21st.
November 21st.
Make it happen.
Okay.
Make it happen.
Charge, always a pleasure. Thank you, buddy.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
It is not your life. Stop lying, will you? Take off, eh? Take
off! And that, my friends, is a wrap for a jam-packed Friday edition of the Zabecast. I thank each and every one of you for downloading and pressing play. And as always, if you want to subscribe and support the efforts, your $5 a month to me is not wasted. It motivates, it funds things like the Mobile Strike Studio, and it keeps me going. Thank you very much for those subscriptions. If not, then enjoy your 4 days a week. I hope you like this podcast. Spread the word, tell a friend, recommend on social media, and as always, rate and review to please our algorithmic overlords. Have yourself a cracker jack. No holds barred. Living your best life weekend, and we will see you Monday.
Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, pa-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid.